Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh, where I analyze my experience as the host for the Art Director Guild Awards, a star-studded event where I hosted, and this is the audio of it, where I break down what went down and why they didn't laugh and why they did laugh and everything else that this podcast is all about. But there is video footage of all of this as well, which will be posted somewhere. So stay tuned. Until then, you can listen and enjoy to what went down. Hi, welcome to a video version of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm doing a video because we're going to analyze when I hosted the Art Director Guild Awards this year, and I have video footage, and it's pretty interesting. And as a comedian, I perform for a purpose, and that's to make people happy and to make people laugh. I have to do something. I perform something. I perform a joke. And as a host, that means that I perform as a welcomer to an event to keep people comfortable and to keep people entertained. Same with hosting a dinner party or a tea party or a dildo party. A host basically is like, hey, welcome. Did you bring some dildos? Here's a comfortable chair. Let's have a dildo. But by the way, there really are dildo parties. I just found that out. They're actually way more mainstream than people think. Like housewives have sex toy parties, and it's kind of like the new Tupperware thing, where they used to exchange Tupperware and then Target kind of supplies Tupperware now. So that's not as exciting, but now it's like vibrators and dildos and stuff. So whoever's hosting that party has to make people feel really comfortable about, talking about dildos. And there's no difference when you're hosting an award show. Welcome to the show! It's great to be here, guys. So they sent me out. The band doesn't stop playing at the right time, so I'm rattled. And the house lights are still up. A lit crowd is death to comedy. They become too self-aware. And also, they're eating. The last thing you want is to be a distraction. And I, at that point, was a distraction. They're in the middle of eating their dinner, and they want to do that. And they want to chat. Great to be here, guys. Are you guys enjoying the dinner? It's an awesome dinner. Welcome to the 19th annual Art Directors Guild Awards. I'm happy to be back. Yeah, make some noise for yourselves. Come on. Get excited. I'm happy to be back. I hosted last year, and it was a blast. You're still eating. You're still eating. That's fine. I'll just keep rocking. It's very light in here. Hey. I have enough experience to know none of this is their fault. It's an environment issue. So I don't let it break me, and I continue.
A good metaphor for what an art director is, I was like, art directors are like the offensive linemen. Like, just like a good design team is like an offensive line. They protect the quarterback. They give him a safe world to allow him to throw the football. That's what you guys do. For example, like in Game of Thrones, when Khaleesi's yelling, where are my dragons? It's a powerful scene because of the context. You put that same performance on Hollywood Boulevard at 3 a.m. and she's just another crazy person looking for dragons.
I kick off with a general joke about what an art director is. I later realized that this isn't the crowd for sports analogies, but it's all good. You know, the rhythm worked. They chuckled. All I can really ask for at this point is a chuckle. They're still eating. But I'm establishing a rhythm.
I love the imitation game. Give it up for the imitation game. How great was that? It kind of reminded me of you guys a little bit. I felt like touring was kind of like an art director because he was trying to make this really great thing, but the people in charge didn't want to pay for his computer, like his kit. And everyone around him thought he was crazy. But eventually, he made everyone look great, and he got no credit for it.
Okay, that joke landed. And it landed because it was specific. When I used the word kit, that's specific to their culture. So they felt the reptilian brain allowed me to penetrate a little deeper. I compared them to a hero. Turing's a hero. I suggested they deserve more credit. And it was all about a movie that was up for an Academy Award. So it all worked. That clicked. But
the Sony hack shook Hollywood. Even I was affected. These images were taken from my computer, my private computer. As I said, I'm a real big fan of the Grand Budapest Hotel. And yeah, I was kind of in a dark place at the time, and I had Photoshop, so I feel like everyone deserves to be the boy with Apple. And then they also got that one. And I wasn't expecting anyone to see that. And they also took that from my phone. They made Boy with Apple dirty. How dare they? All right, you can get rid of that one. Just fuck that. All right. Birdman was a designer's dream. Make it up. Give it up for Birdman. You guys are still a little shaken up from my nude Boy with Apple.
Okay, that bombed. The crowd isn't mic'd, so you can't always hear the big laughs or the big silences. That was awkward. That was super awkward. And you know that nightmare when you're at school and you go to school in your underwear? That just happened to me. But can't let it affect me. It's not their fault. Looking back, it was because it was too obscure. And the commitment to the nude pic was necessary, in my opinion, to make fun of the Sony hack. Because people had their nudes hacked, so I had to show my nude. But the fact it didn't work was jarring. It was definitely jarring to the crowd and myself. Onward. I edited down the next bit to save time, but it's a solid joke and I stand behind it. Basically, I'm saying art direction during caveman times. Classic juxtaposition. Several jokes in a row making fun of the cave art director, the cave producer, the cave actor, the cave director.
Can we get a spear in the stick man's hand? What's it going to take to get a spear in the stick man's hand? That guy later became a director, you know, a few hundred thousand years later. And then the producer's like, what are you guys talking about? We can't afford that. We can't afford a hand on the wall, but only three fingers. And so they did that. Guys, these are really good jokes. I don't know if you realize that.
Okay, still not going to turn on the crowd, but I did do a gentle nudge to let them know I expect more from them. It's now been 5 minutes, so the whole we're still talking at our dinner table isn't going to fly with me anymore. Now it's time to commit. The show is on, and it would be disrespectful to the people I'm introducing if I don't make them a better crowd.
This year is also the year of the theoretical physics movie. Physics got sexual, right? I saw Interstellar twice. Unbelievable. I cried both times, but I didn't understand it the first time. Give it up for Interstellar. I had a really powerful movie, but I had to read several books and watch it again to try and understand it more. And basically what I gather is that we need a black hole in the center of every DMV in America, because then 24 years would feel like 7 minutes. Awesome. All right. Just wrote you guys a joke about theoretical physics.
Okay, now I'm getting slightly pissed off. I'm keeping composure because it's not about me and I'm still honored to be there. But I legit read Kip Thorne's book on the science behind Interstellar. Not only did I see Interstellar twice, I read a book about it because I wanted to show that much respect. I wanted to get that specific about a joke to show respect. And looking back, that was the entire problem. I tried too hard and it was too specific.
All right, you guys are ready to go now, huh? You guys ready to start this show? It's going to be awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the president of the Art Directors Guild, Mimi Gromadki. Make some noise.
I start the show. Opening, Lonnie Love, the best. And she's a stand-up comedian. So we shook hands because that's what stand-up comics do.
Two, my friend Lonnie Love. Make some noise.
Okay, check this out. This next dude, good guy. I ate dinner with him. But an actor. They don't shake hands at award shows. I've watched award shows now a lot more actively, and I realize that comics shake hands when they introduce other comics. But actors, one, the host goes one way and the actor goes the other way. And so I read the physical cues, so I just kind of gave him a thumbs up.
Minds and the tutors, please welcome Matt Ryan.
Good evening. There is an old black and white photo of the very first Academy Award.
Good dude, but definitely a thumbs upper.
I think Christopher Nolan needs to do a movie about this next category. It's about a guy giving an award for designing an award show at an award show.
Okay, I'm still doing okay, but this is when everything turns. At this point, I'm doing okay. I'm hosting. Good job. You're not pissing anyone off. People are giggling. You're reading the prompter. This is when it gets interesting.
Award show's going great. It's going quickly. It's going very fast. It's going so fast to the point where they've asked me to do about 5 or 6 minutes of stand-up. You guys down with that? You guys want to hear some jokes? All right, nice.
They needed someone like, this is when they need someone like me or someone like a comic. They need someone who's performed in front of gang members in Cleveland or, you know, dudes with guns in Montana or at a bar or while people threw tomatoes at me at a Renaissance fair or a bowling alley, a functioning bowling alley. They need a comedian. And comedians have a different vibe when things go south. We're war generals. You know, most of us have used mic stands out of a shoe. I've used my shoe as a mic stand. I once got paid in food stamps.
I'm trying to be more mature as a person. It's not going very well. Because my favorite thing to do in the world is to go into Starbucks and order a drink. I'm like, yeah, I'll take a large coffee. They're like, what's your name? I'm like, Panisse. But you can't laugh because then the adventure's over. It becomes a joke. You have to look at them like you just took Adderall. Like my name's Panisse. And if you stare long enough, he'll start thinking this may be real. And the next thing he says is, how do you spell that, Panisse? And that's when you got him. That's when you can smile and be like, you know how to spell it. Because that smile says, you know what I'm doing, but you're too far down the rabbit hole to turn back. Let's continue. And that guy will write it on the cup. Why? Because people pass their problems downstream. That guy just has to write it. The next guy is the poor bastard that's to say it out loud. And that's my favorite thing in the world.
Okay, they trust me now. There was a pinch. I came through. The teleprompter kept blinking out or misspelling words.
Of a saint. And here are the nominees.
Hello?
We gotta roll a different clip.
Yep.
Roll the one for the half hour single camera.
Great.
And you can all palpably feel fear. Everyone is scared and tense and uncomfortable. Their whole night is going to shit. What are people going to say? And I would never let someone stand alone in front of a crowd like that.
I'll stand with you.
Yeah, thank you.
These people need a war general. They need someone to come through big time.
They're looking for the clip. One more. We're going to do more stand.
Yeah.
So after a little while, I was told by Justine, who's that beautiful girl that is presenting the awards. She has a book that just came out. I Justine, I think is what it's called. She's a monster on YouTube and Twitter. Really nice girl. But it's the clip's not coming. So the audience is a little fucked. They feel fucked. Tony feels fucked. As Mike Tyson says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Fortunately, I've been punched in the face a lot, emotionally and physically. Let's get to work.
All right. Let me do a song? There's a piano. Can we light the piano right now? Can I play you guys a song? All right, guys. Well, you guys look for that. I like to soothe, when people are stressed out, I like to play soothing music. Sometimes, when I get sad, I go by myself to IKEA just to watch couples fight about nothing. IKEA is designed for conflict in relationships. Like, you go there, you're like, yeah, we're looking for some plates. What aisle? They're like, aisle. Welcome to the maze. I'm like, maze? They're like, yeah, there's one path that goes past everything ever made. And you may never see the plates. Oh, the pencils are tiny. Everything's in Swedish. Go to hell. And if you don't break up here, you will at home when you realize you need a master's degree in engineering to put that coffee table together. IKEA. I love that song. It's called Canon and D. Right? Because a lot of times women associate with weddings. They're like, oh, that's my song for my special day. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And weddings are awesome. They're a wonderful, beautiful event. But here's the thing that advertisers do. They take that song and they sell women shit they don't need. Every holiday season, watch the commercials. They're like, this Christmas, give her what she's wanted all year. Women are like, what have I wanted? Show her that she is the core of your world. Show her that you love her as much today as the first time you saw her. Show her with this double-hearted pendant thing.
Safe again, relaxed, everything will be okay. Now it's time for George Clooney to fucking crush.
My job tonight is to give the Lifetime Achievement Award for Production Design to our good friend Jim Bissell.
That's how you do it. He gave a long speech, looked like he was just talking straight from the heart, wasn't looking like he was reading a teleprompter like me. Just such a legend. Perfect example of a celebrity that's super nice in the right environment. Backstage was like, great work, you know. I was like, thanks. Which is nice. You come at him with a camera in public, might be a little freaked out. They need to feel safe. Okay, so what's going on here? Now, I realize that the piano is an asset for me. People like the piano. There's a piano right there. It's lit up. They also like when I talk about them, but not too specifically. So I'm starting to adapt. I'm adapting to the room.
Sometimes it's hard being an art director. You know, it's one of those jobs where everybody on the crew has an opinion. They're like, I wouldn't have that lamp in my house. Yeah, well, you're not an alcoholic jazz musician living in 1920s New York City, asshole. But thanks for the opinion. Sometimes art directors ask themselves questions like, why do producers only like the color beige? Or, why can't we be in the stage next door, the one with 8 extra feet of floor space? Or, why the hell has no one ever written us a song? Well, I like beige, I get it. It goes with everything. And you're probably not in the stage next door because of budgets, so make it work. But I'm gonna play you guys a song that I wrote just for you. It's a fun sing-along party anthem. And although you don't know it, I want you to pretend like you know it. Like, I'm gonna announce a song you don't know, but pretend it's like Imagine 1978 Central Park. Like, go ape shit over something you don't know. We'll just make believe here. This next song, I promised myself I wouldn't go back in time, but you may remember this song from one of my first albums. It's called All They Want. They built Gotham, a shady city. True Detective got a creepy tree. Birdman, a bipolar dressing room. They built the Guardians, a whole galaxy. They don't need no spotlight. They don't want your pearls. All they ask in return is you acknowledge that they built your whole world. They built your world so you can have your little scene. They built your world. They know 50 different shades of green. They built your world from the good wife to gone girl. World, just remember that they built your whole fucking world, yeah. Killer Clown got a creepy trailer right out of my nightmares. I can no longer sleep even after 30 beers. Interstellar, I cried fifth dimension tears, and The Hobbit hasn't wrapped yet. We all sing, ready? They built your world so you can have your little scene. They built your world. They know 50 different shades of green. They built your world from the good wife to gone girl. They built your world. Just remember, without our direction and their whole team, you wouldn't have a fucking world. Thank you. You guys deserve a song, and you got one. Margot Martindale, everybody.
I think he's just hilarious. Isn't he great? They built the world.
The walls are coming down. The divisions between people are barely visible. Let's party.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome Academy Award winner, Anne Hathaway.
Hi. Hello. Who else here is a massive fan of Owen Benjamin now? He's so incredible.
That's right. Anne Hathaway just said that. Anne Hathaway kind of has comedian vibes in a way. She doesn't get rattled. Check this out.
Cinematic imagery due in no small part to the brilliance of Nathan Crowley. He built our world. He built so many friggin' worlds.
She had just heard that song for the first time, like 5 minutes before, and felt comfortable singing it. That's a comedian move. Maybe that's from her music theater background. I don't know, but she's amazing. And I was so happy I kind of freaked out a little. Okay, here comes the man.
Art Directors Guild Award for a standing contribution to cinematic imagery to Mr. Christopher Nolan.
I'm excited.
Christopher Nolan, everybody. How awesome is that? Jesus.
I get to shake hands with the dude who won the Oscar that year. Man. Let's wrap this baby up.
Anne Hathaway sang my song. Please join us at the International Terrace for photos and the bar downstairs for a nightcap. And by nightcap, I personally mean, let's get hammered.
And now we party. So that has been my recap of a wonderful and terrifying night of mine where I hosted the Art Director Guild Awards. Could have went way south. If I had taken any of those things up front personally, I would have been dead. Fortunately, I had the experience to know that it was all environmental. It wasn't personal. That's the point of this podcast. Why didn't they laugh? It's not you most of the time. And if it is, you know, you can get out of it. You can work it through. I failed them a few times, but don't panic. So, yeah, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And after an apocalypse, you know who's king and queen? Whoever's got dry socks and water. Life is shifts. It kind of rack focuses. It changes focus a lot of times. And that was one of them. And for that one night, I was like, I felt on their level. And then I no longer was. And that's the way it all works. And that's life. And it's fucking amazing. That weekend I was in, you know, my delayed flight, lost bags, living on a Best Western off a highway, making drunk people laugh. And I wouldn't have it any other fucking way, because adaptation is what life is all about. If you can do something in one environment, can you do it in another? And if not, you probably should work on that, because that's all we got. Darwinian shit. So what anyone can take from this, not just comedians, is performance has to be, it has to come from a real place, and it has to have a purpose. And your purpose should always be them. It's yourself in a sense. You want to feel respected. If you want to express yourself, great. But if you're a host or if you're a comedian, it's about them. If you're doing a one-man show about being abused as a kid for, you know, Radiolab or NPR, then who cares if they laugh? Who cares if they're uncomfortable? They should be uncomfortable. You trusted your uncle. But hosting in comedy, there's a purpose, and it's them. And if you keep your eyes on that, you can get through some really dicey things, like a teleprompter failing, a teleprompter guy who can't spell, a crowd of people that have not been alerted yet that there's a show and that they're eating dinner and that the most powerful people in entertainment are right in front of you and they all just saw you in your underwear. Adapt. Subscribe and comment to this podcast. That's how we spread the word. I love you guys. I am on tour, owenbenjamin.com/tour. Come see me in a city near you, because I'm all over the place right now. Twitter at Owen Benjamin, Facebook, Owen Benjamin Comedy. My dog has been staring at me this entire time, and I got to take him outside. Say hi, buddy. He's been just staring at me the entire time. You're the man. Dogs put things in perspective. I was on tour once with Jimmy Fallon, and everyone was having a blast. We're at some after party from a show, and everyone was kissing his ass, and Jimmy's the nicest guy ever, and we're all having a blast. And my dog was there, and my dog just took a shit on the floor, and everyone just cleared out like that. You know, you can be in the Capitol of the Hunger Games, and just a little bit of dog shit, and it's an empty warehouse. Take care.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.